All right. Let's do it.
See you later.
All right. Talk to you later.
Good morning.
Good morning, Elias.
And what shall we discuss, my friend?
Oh my gosh, I have never had more questions for you than as I do now. And it's interesting. So, you know, talking about like perception and doing something different. You know me, I usually don't prepare for sessions except maybe a question here or there, a little of my notes. I have been reading things. I have been watching TV shows. I've been talking to people. I'm like, whoa. And I've written all this stuff down now. So I've done more preparation for this, my two sessions. I get two sessions than I have ever done ever before a conversation with you. And the input, what I was, you know, I wanted to talk about like the reaction to this climate change session from Anonymous. And I want to talk about perception. Last time I told you I wanted to talk about perception. And then I had this really kind of distressing dream. And since it was so strong, I wanted to talk to you about that as well. But then as I'm going on, I thought, you know, I want to start off talking about something that's kind of exciting to me. I want to talk about black holes.
Very well.
So interesting, this whole interesting thing. I feel like a lot of little puzzle pieces are being dangled in front of me. I'm not quite sure how to pull them all together. And I'm not quite sure if when I explain it to you, it's going to be accurate or it's going to make sense. I'm not even quite sure what I am trying to do, but I've noticed things that made me think of things. So I want to kind of just tell you what I've noticed. And I wonder if you could tell me if I'm on the right track to understanding what a black hole is, or help me hone, or just help me get clarity, or if I'm still kind of all over the place. So,
very well.
All right, so the first thing, and this may or may not be in and out of order, I'm not even sure how to draw this together. I just want to tell you the things that I've noticed. So I was listening to I was reading this Chiron, if that's how you say it, transcript. And he was talking about, we know right now we have four forces that we as human beings here are aware of, gravity, electromagnetism, a weak nuclear force, and a strong nuclear force. And then he was saying there's actually two more forces that we're not aware of, but we're close to discovering. And I believe he was saying it was, what I remember him saying was the, he didn't want to label it. He says that's for us to label, but he's call it like the strong interdimensional force and the weak interdimensional force. And he also said, so somehow I'm thinking black holes is related to that. But hang on a second. And then he also said something about, like, we have a spaceship. We sent up a spaceship, and there is, we put the number pi on it in the circle. So if other life came across it, they would know that we understood pi. And he said that if someone, another fourth aliens or something came across it, they would laugh and, not laugh, but they say, oh, look, this civilization sent a spaceship out. And, you know, they only know about pi because there's this other thing to know about. And then I thought in the one session, the group session, you said how we want to measure things like quantum physics that our science currently wants to measure things. And, you know, perception can't be measured. Imagination can't be measured. And then there's like a different kind of math that we have to come up with. So I'm thinking like these two new forces, there's this new kind of math that we're still going to come up with. And then anyhow, so then I'm listening to this talk by Neville Goddard, and he was using the analogy calling, you know, God, what he was calling God was imagination. And everything comes from imagination. And I'm thinking, gosh, everything comes from imagination. And not everything, or maybe, I don't know, but imagination is where everything is. And then I started to think, you know, you said a black hole is antimatter, all right? So there's no matter in it, but it's really dense with energy. So then I started to think, well, it's so dense. And I started to think imagination, like you said, if you could imagine it, it exists or whatever. But I just started to think there's like a lot of energy with imagination. Somehow.
Yes, you are correct.
So I'm wondering if with like a black hole. Anyhow, so I somehow, and then you had said, someone said, oh, they saw matter come out of black hole, or something come out of a black hole, and you said, well, when it only turns to matter when it comes out of a black hole. So that's like creating our physical reality. So like inside the black hole could be, I don't know if this is correct or not, but it's what I'm thinking. Inside the black hole is like the imagination, all the energy. And when something comes out, it's kind of like how we're creating our reality. It's like we create our reality from nothing. So, and another thing Kion said, it's like, it's not just one black hole. They're like, they're two black holes or two eyes, like two eyes of a needle side by side somehow. So, anyhow, so I'm just thinking like this black hole, you know, everything in physical is reflections of what we're doing. And somehow I'm thinking like this black hole could be imagination. And it's all kind of related to that. Like when something comes, like the black hole is non-physical energy. And it's where everything comes from. And somehow perceptions, like when it comes through our perception, you know, when it comes out of the black hole, it creates reality, or physical reality. Anyhow, so it's very interesting to me that I have brought all these pieces of information to myself. I kind of feel like I'm hovering around something, but, you know, my focus sometimes, I'm not, you know, it's all over the place. But so that's what I'm thinking. So I'd like to hear what you have to say about that. Am I even close to something, understanding? Am I close to understanding how reality is created or anything about black holes or?
Actually, yes. Actually, I would express a tremendous congratulations to you.
It's so exciting to me.
That actually is a very good analogy. I would say that they are very similar. Imagination and black holes are not the same thing, but they are very similar. Mm-hmm. And the principle of them is the same. Therefore, I would say a tremendous congratulations to you for generating that connection.
Wow. It's so interesting, and it hasn't been lost on me how, you know, these bits of information, like, they can, I'm have information from all different sources, and they kind of, it's like this thread, or like weaving it all together, you know. But it's exciting. So
I would agree.
So let me ask you, would you agree with Kreon's statement that there's two undiscovered forces in our reality?
I understand what is being expressed. I would agree with that. I wouldn't express a limitation of that. I wouldn't express that it was limited to that. But yes, I would agree with what is being expressed and that identification, yes.
And then another thing he said that was interesting to me, there's a lot of interesting things going on, considering like the climate change session, and you're saying that it's, by the end of our century, we will be, traveling in outer space and needing to look for other places to live as well. He was talking about how humans are very, we need the magnetism of the Earth. And he was even saying, like, human beings that live on the poles where the magnetism isn't or is less or something, that their health isn't as great. And then if we were going to go off planet, that would not be healthy for our human body, because we do need the earth energy and magnetism. So I thought, well, how interesting is that as we are getting ready to go into and explore outer space? So I'm wondering, one, are we going to, is that statement correct? And two, I guess if it is correct and we are going to do it, we would learn how to compensate for that.
First of all, what I would say to you is you will likely look for other planets that are very similar to your own. That would be the first piece. And secondly, I would say that you are a species that is very adaptable. Therefore, you will adapt. I would say that is there validity to what is being expressed about humans in relation to the poles of your planet, to a degree. But, as I expressed, you automatically will naturally move in a direction in which you are looking for other planets that would be in the same classification as your own. Therefore, would be very similar to your own planet. And in addition to that, yes, I would say even on your own planet, you are very adaptable as a species.
All right. Well, I think I'm going to save our second session for things that I think may be of more group interest. Because this one, I kind of want to donate. I mean, I may let people listen to this or not, but I want to be really selfish on this one and talk about personal things or things that I'm kind of curious about that other people may or may not be curious about.
Very well.
So, actually, some quick ones that I just want to ask right off the bat, that maybe quick answers. Author, my friend, what is his dream trigger?
And has an impression been offered?
Think I might have asked him that. Oh, I don't know why, but I think it might be similar to mine. Like, mine is a window. I'm wondering if his is something, either a window or something to have to do with a building. I didn't write down whose impression that came from, but I think, but he talked about his dreams and they felt very similar to mine. So I'm thinking something with a structure or a building or a window.
Wood.
Wood. Okay. Well, that's a building material.
Definitely.
And it's also in nature. Okay. All right. And then he and I have a lot of perception questions, but I think I'll save that to the perception climate change thing. I want to talk about this dream that I had. And what struck me about it was I remember when I was married to Dave, I had a dream, and in my dream, I was so freaking mad at him. I woke up, realized it was a dream after I woke up, so I was still so mad at him, I punched him in the middle of the night. And that's just like the impact it had on me. And this dream, I don't think, was quite that impact, but it felt very similar. So, thank God I wrote it down because... Anyhow, so it says, we went back, in my dream, we went back to Old Town, where we were living temporarily in a hotel. Karen and Lawrence were sharing at another residence. They were living somewhere else. And they wanted John and I to buy a place with them and to ask them, and they asked me about my work. And if I would have time to go look at this place. Well, I didn't want to go look at this place. I didn't want to buy this place with them. And anyway, I said, wait a minute, it's going to. Oh, I was thinking I'd tell John that I didn't want to buy it because the property was going to flood, so we shouldn't buy anything. And I didn't want to buy this place. Then somehow, I was given $20,000 by a person or a company and received a letter saying I must give it back because I gave $40,000 to Karen and Lawrence Place. And then I discovered that John had actually taken the money out of my account and paid for Karen and Lawrence's place. I was so mad at John that I told him I'd never felt so betrayed before. And Nolan, my son Nolan, was in the room. And then John avoided me a bit, but finally he approached me and he asked if I thought I was overreacting. And I said I wouldn't know if I was overreacting because he didn't tell me what he had done. There was something he had done, so, and I didn't know why, so that's why I was so mad at him, because he did something without telling me, but in my mind, I was thinking, well, maybe there was reason that he did it, and I just didn't know, but I was mad because he hadn't told me. And then, anyhow, there's more to the dream I wrote down, but I'm going to stop there. Wait a minute. Also, part of the dream, at a bar restaurant, I had told waiters and staff I thought they had a stressful job and they appreciated the acknowledgement. At the end of dinner, some kind of celebration where I was given a unicorn head on a string that had gone up to the ceiling and it broke unicorn's horn. I was delighted because I had once again manifested a unicorn, but I was a little disappointed because the horn broke. Thinking a lot of times I get cool stuff, like from my stepmother, and it gets broken, but I thought I could glue the horn back together and it would be okay. And John had a drink with vodka and apple slices instead of ice. I thought that was a good idea. Anyhow, so that's what I wrote down for my dream. But I was really kind of interested. What really stuck out on me is I was so mad at John that I felt that he had betrayed me. And then I remember being very mad at my ex-husband at the time. And then it turned out I was really mad at him. I didn't realize it. It was being expressed in my dream. So I guess to start, the where I want to start is, you know, is there a part of me that's mad at John that I'm not aware of? Or if you could just help me interpret this dream, I would really appreciate it.
Now, first of all, I would inquire of you, what would your assessment be of being so angry?
Well, anger, as you have told me many times,
isn't necessarily associated with those people precisely. But more, it is a matter of what is it that you are expressing to yourself in relation to being so angry?
Well, obviously a lack of control, which I know is an illusion. I was angry, one, because I thought, you know, stuff was going on that I didn't know about. And I had no control over what was going on because I didn't know about it.
Now, the people that you imaged in your dream were symbolic of the subject being personal and intimate to you.
Yes.
Therefore, the subject is being angry.
Yes.
Now, in that, the being angry aspect is, yes, partially about not being in control, partially about not having choices or perceiving that you don't have choices. But it is also partially about you interpreting the perception that you aren't being taken into consideration.
Yes, yes.
That your position isn't important. And there is another piece in that, in relation to personalizing, which moves you in that direction of generating assessments of behaviors that are right or wrong. Now, think about those pieces, and what would you say, what type of an assessment would you make in relation to this dream?
Well, especially the people that were in the dream.
Remember, the people that are in the dream are not literal. They are merely symbols.
Personalizing behaviors that are right or wrong. I'm not being taken into consideration.
Now, assess that situation. What pieces would you say in life, so to speak, are being reflected by that?
Well, I think, especially with John, that he spends a lot of money on things that I necessarily don't think are important, but then I do go, you know, thinking that's what he thinks is important. So I do think I get to that place. I mean, it still probably worries me a little bit sometimes just because I'm like, but I know that that is a piece. And I know I work, you know, like sometimes I think, you know, questioning what we're doing or like going back to the boat, buying the boat. And also with this climate change session, okay, well, I got this big freaking boat and it's putting all this pollution into the ocean.
You say that at this point the boat is still a subject that could be perceived as a bone of contention?
Well, I don't know. I don't know between us if it's a bone of contention. I feel like more just within myself. It kind of represents... What?
That is what I'm asking you. Not necessarily that you create it to be a bone of contention between you and your partner.
Right. Okay, so it does represent... Yeah.
To yourself.
Yeah. Okay, so you know what it kind of represents? It kind of it represents a lot of things, and especially like this climate thing brought up. So I think I do feel like torn in two different directions. One, okay, I want to support my husband. One, I know I can think about things like you said, you know, if he wants to explore new technologies, he can learn from it, da da da, that could be good. And then on the other hand, well, you know, polluting the earth. I don't, and then same thing, like we're getting ready to take all these trips and I'm like, oh my God, we're going to be supporting airplanes and they have all these pollution. We're really, oh, I'm contributing to harming the planet even more. And so there, actually, this is very strong. A lot of things I'm like, I can't go in one direction. I can't go in the other because I'm like being pulled this way, being pulled that way. It's like, okay, this is kind of what I want to do, but no, it's bad. It's bad for the environment. It's bad for, or it's irresponsible. Or no, but I really want to do this. I want to have fun. Even like after that session of the climate thing, I'm thinking, last time we talked, or one of the times we talked, you're like, you are enough, and you are enough. And no, over here, oh, we're not doing enough to help the planet. I'm not, what I'm doing is not enough. I'm not enough. So I am on this fucking push me, pull me thing that I feel like I can't necessarily move forward, although I know I am moving forward, and I do move forward. There is this underlying push me, pull me thing that I'm like, what do I do? What do I do? I can't do this because it's bad. It's like you go into a grocery store with food and if you listen to the, oh, you can't eat this because that's bad for you. And you can't eat. Okay, so maybe I can eat this. Oh, no, that's bad for you too. You can't eat that. Oh, maybe I can do this. Can't do that. I'm like, fucking A. What the fuck can I do that isn't harming something or myself? Or so, yeah. Yeah. That's a lot.
And I would express that there's your answer in relation to what you are angry about.
Okay, maybe that is what I, yeah, and you know what? I fucking am angry about that.
It is bothersome to you. And in that, what I would say is this is not about other people. You merely, once again, you imaged other people to create that symbol of the subject is intimate and personal to you. Now, in that, the theme in the dream is regardless of what direction you moved in, you were angry.
Yeah.
And the sub-theme in that is that there were aspects of the reason that you were angry was because of the right and wrong aspect of everything.
Right. Exactly.
And what in seems- this, what I would say to you is, first of all, let me say to you that, yes, I expressed in a serious manner in relation to this subject of climate change, and in that there was a reason, yes. The reason is that, first of all, there remain still many individuals, even individuals within this forum, even individuals that engage conversations with myself or that are privy to the information because they read the transcriptions, that are still not seriously paying attention to this situation. And when I say seriously paying attention, I don't mean that you must be moving in the direction of being an activist or that you should be campaigning in some capacity or that you should be generating committees about the situation. No. What I am expressing is don't be blind. These changes are happening. And it is important. They are already occurring. And it is important. And how will you engage that? Let me express to you, this once again is an excellent example of not personalizing. Let me say to you, there are many individuals that are privy to this information in your country, in other countries, in many countries, that are actually engaging situations that are already happening and they are not addressing to them very well. There are many individuals in countries such as Germany or Italy that are already engaged with an overwhelming influx of refugees. And the direction that these individuals are moving in general, is in fear and conflict. They aren't moving with the situation, they are moving against it, which is creating considerable conflict and trauma. There are individuals in your country that are at this moment presently experiencing situations of many individuals being displaced because of water or fire. And they are expressing in fear and anger. They are moving in opposition to the situation rather than moving with it. They aren't moving in directions of recognizing that these are all situations that are associated with climate change. No, they are continuing to think about these situations in relation to this is merely a disaster and it is temporary. No, no, no. It isn't merely a disaster. It is very much associated with climate change, and it isn't temporary.
And I see that. I mean, I recognize, like, people thinking the fires or whatever it is. I know people think it's temporary. I definitely...
Precisely. So, therefore, this is an example for you and for some other individuals also, that you are actually being responsible to yourselves, that you actually are paying attention, you are considering the situation seriously, you are being informed, and you are attempting to move in directions to move with the situation rather than opposing it. Now, that doesn't mean that you aren't doing enough. It doesn't mean that. Actually, I would express that these conversations that I have been engaging recently in relation to these questions of climate change have been, one, to encourage those of you that are moving with the situation and are realistically engaging the subject, and two, to emphasize to those of you that aren't, that it is time to wake up. That these situations aren't temporary, and that they aren't going to get better.
Can I stop you for 1 second? I mean, I want you to continue, but it's just something that I'm feeling. Like, I can feel comfortable with, okay, what you're saying, like going, and I understand, like going with it and moving with it. And I think I can get myself there at that place, I think, pretty rapidly and pretty good. And I do that. The thing, my little bit, like, makes me sad. The thing that makes me sad is the thought, I mean, I love this planet, and I don't want it to be destroyed.
Doesn't mean that you have to leave it. And it doesn't mean that the planet will be destroyed. It won't, as I have expressed previously. I genuinely acknowledge that to you. That what I am expressing is, yes, by the end of this century, will it be significant that you are seriously exploring other habitable planets that you can actually engage? Yes, that is a realistic expression. Does that mean that by the year of the turn of the century, that you must all leave your planet? No.
And I get that too. And I think space exploration, I don't know if I want to do it in this focus, maybe, maybe not. We'll see how long this focus lasts, but I think it could be fun and it could be an exciting thing, whether it's not me for other things or to watch people explore. I think that could be fun. I understand that. And maybe climate change is going to be the impetus. And sometimes we need something to happen to motivate us. like Trump to motivate us, and I do understand all that. I just want to not have to destroy the planet to do it. And
I agree. And I am expressing that individuals and peoples are waking up to the situation. And in that, what I will also say to you is that this doesn't mean that you have to move in directions of entirely altering your lifestyles completely. That isn't the point. And in that, yes, it is important to be aware of what you are contributing to the situation in relation to climate change. But let me express to you, my friend, and this is not an excuse, but I would say to you that the situation in major cities in which majority of the vehicles in those major cities are producing tremendous emissions into the atmosphere, that is much more of a situation than your boat.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I would say that the generating of massive cattle farms,
yes,
is much more contributing to your atmosphere than your planes.
Yeah.
Even with all the planes that you engage at this present time framework, and as much as they fly, and as much fuel as they consume, even that, the situation with the cattle is actually more affecting than your plane.
Okay, so I'm glad you brought this up, because this is another thing that is kind of curious to me, you know, everything being a reflection. It's so interesting to me that at this time when it actually would be beneficial for us to eat less cattle and less meat, all of a sudden there's this diet thing coming up that, you know, the keto diet, or some people are even going on all meat, all protein diets. It's so interesting to me. I mean, we're all interconnected. It's like, what the fuck? It's like we're going in the wrong fucking direction. Excuse my
language. I would say to you is panic.
Hmm.
And the reason for that is, in a manner of speaking, this is a backlash. You have moved in a direction in your 20th century in which you generated tremendous strides forward in inventiveness, you generated tremendous strides technologically, but you also moved in directions in a manner of speaking to make your lives easier, and you sacrificed your health.
Yes.
Now, in doing that, you have created a situation. Now, this piece, I will say, is definitely a piece that there are certain countries that are more responsible for than others. And your country would be one of them.
So
regardless that there are other countries such as Australia and New Zealand that are generating significant cattle farming, they are doing it for other countries such as yours. Now, in that, there are some countries that have moved in these directions in the 20th century of, in your terminology, making life easier, but sacrificing health for that. And in that have created situations in which there are significant problems, so to speak, with obesity.
Yeah.
Your country is not the only country that battles that. But this is a reason why there are such draws to many of these other directions.
Yeah, but isn't it ironic?
Directions.
But it's
because the people have found themselves in situations, in positions, in which they are panicked.
Then how come eating meat is helping people lose weight?
This is another, in a manner of speaking, quick fix that isn't healthy.
Oh, interesting.
Therefore, what I would say is, it is a direction that might yield certain results quickly, but you also sacrifice health in other directions.
Interesting.
Therefore, it isn't necessarily healthy.
Yeah.
Now, in that, there has been a tremendous surge in that direction. And let me express to you that governments are also very much interplaying in these situations. Look at your advertisements in your country and what the government in your country promotes in relation to dairy products.
Oh, yeah. Got milk?
Is that necessarily healthy for you? No, but the governments are advocating in that direction because they generate contracts with different farms, and that is part of the economy. This is what I am saying to you and what I have been saying in relation to these recent conversations in relation to climate change, is that that and economy is tremendously linked together.
So it almost seems like, yeah, Elias, everything, like you say, wake up. Like you can wake up, and we're not, and I know it's ineffective to tell people they should do this or that. And I know the only thing we can do is be an example, but it seems so freaking big that the only thing we can do to wake people up is to have it all go to hell in a handbasket. So I'm like, okay, let's let it all go to hell in a handbasket, and then we'll go from there, you know?
And I would say is that it won't entirely, that Yes, most people will move in the direction of painting themselves into a corner before they actually begin to seriously act. But I would say to you that many of you that engage conversations with myself were already aware of that. You already knew.
Oh, I know.
That would be the situation. Therefore, that is not necessarily surprising. In this, I am merely offering information to aid you in encouraging individuals to wake up. Those that are actually privy to this information and that are actually engaging with myself. Because it isn't only individuals that don't interact with myself. Many individuals that do interact with myself are in that position also of not listening.
So can I, since this is supposedly personal and about me, and can I, another thing this brings up, like I do think, like I go and that back and forth kind of being pulled in two directions, I will... And I know this isn't beneficial for me or them, but this is what I do sometimes. I will think, I know that that isn't a good thing to be doing, and I can tell someone, and I know they're not going to listen, and I get irritated, but then I'll think, well, I can't be so arrogant to think that I know the right thing. Why is it that I know the right thing to do? It's not, you know, it's kind of an arrogant thing to think. And
you are doing the right thing for you.
Yeah.
It isn't a matter of that you are saying this is the right thing for everyone. This is the right thing for you.
But I might think, well, you shouldn't eat, you know, all these people eating beef. I might want to say, you know, this is really hurt. And I do sometimes because I can't, I just do it. I'm like, this is, even though, and I still eat beef. I don't eat as much as I used to, but.
That is the point. It isn't that you have to entirely abstain.
Yeah.
It is a matter of recognizing that you don't require consuming it every day.
Or as much, and we are eating less food. I do think eating on the flip side of all that, this intermittent fasting that's becoming kind of a rage and eating less food. I mean, eating less food than we do, I think would be considerably healthy for everybody and the planet.
But, I would agree. Yeah. I would express that most individuals consume considerably more than is necessary. But in all of this, it isn't about moving in extremes. It
yeah.
is a matter of balance. It isn't a matter of you must entirely alter everything in your life. It doesn't mean you should never eat meat. It means move in a balanced direction.
And also to be aware of where you're getting your food from. And, And I do think, you know, just with anything, like in life, to say, okay, that's my sights, where I want to go. I'm not going to be there necessarily, unless I can teleport, but just set my sights there. Like, set my sights. I don't need to do it all in one day, but just a little. Like, I do a little bit more here, a little bit more there. I'm like, I'm putting myself in that direction that I want to go, but I'm not making it, necessary. Like, I take the low-hanging fruit. I'm like, okay, it's easy to do this, and that's what I want to do in my direction. So, I do feel good about that.
Yes, and in that, what I would say to you, my friend, is that it isn't necessary for you to be confusing yourself so much and creating a situation in which you are angry continuously at yourself Because you are questioning whether you are doing the right action or not.
Yeah.
But rather acknowledging yourself and, in a manner of speaking, being prepared for what may occur next.
Yes.
Therefore, being prepared that there may be an influx of individuals in your state.
Yeah.
And what will you do? Will you move in a direction of cooperation, or will you move in a direction of fear and anger?
Well, that, I mean, you mean, are you talking me individually or me collectively?
Both.
Well,
you are expressing that you have this dream in relation to what you are expressing to yourself and what you are experiencing, and this confusion and this conflict and this being angry because you don't know what to do, or because you judge yourself that you aren't doing enough or you should be doing more. It isn't about that. What I would say to you individually, is moving in the direction that you already are. Being self-aware, being aware of your own balances, and also moving with the changes. Therefore, recognizing that you might be in a situation futurely in which there are influxes of individuals that are displaced. And how will you move in the direction with that? Or in relation to situations that are already occurring in association with food sources, that certain food sources are already being generated in directions in which they are fluctuating in their availability to you because of the development of dis-ease with food sources that you grow.
Yeah.
That is already occurring. And what is your response to that? Do you become angry?
Yeah, no.
Move in a direction of, and this is very realistic, my friend. Do you move in a direction of then expressing that it is pointless to be consuming in a healthy manner and revert to engaging your convenience foods?
No.
These are very realistic expressions. You aren't doing that. Other people do. What I am saying to you is pay attention to what you are doing and evaluate. You are moving in a direction in which you are balancing. You are moving in a direction in which you are aware. And you are expressing in a manner in which you are preparing yourself for whatever you present yourself with.
Okay, so the bell is happening, but I want to bring this, just say this, because this is like the I feel like a little piece, last little piece for me, is I feel that I have been paying attention to myself, what I'm doing, what's going on, paying attention to the information you have given us over the years, working on things. I feel that I can, I mean, I might get upset, I might get angry, I might get, have all these feelings, but I feel I can get myself adjusted back into balance at a good feeling state pretty, I'm getting better and better at it. I mean, and I can like think, ah, this is really good. Life is really good. Wow.
And I agree.
Okay. So this is the piece that I feel is never the last little piece, but this is the piece that I kind of maybe might still hang me up. If I think about it, I feel like I can fucking get, I feel really good about life, but then I'm like, ah, but the rest of the, you know, all these other people, how can I feel really good about life when other people are in such trauma? There is a bit of guilt I have about that. So, which I know is a bit of out of balance. So, but it does feel a little like almost separating me from the masses that, yeah, who am I? Who am I to feel good?
What I would say is, which we can explore somewhat more if you are so choosing, but what I would say in simplicity is that piece is about energy. You can have compassion for other individuals, but how are you projecting your energy? If you are projecting being sad or being angry, that isn't helpful.
Right, and I understand and agree.
And in that, that doesn't mean you can't be compassionate.
Yes.
When you are compassionate, genuinely allow yourself to be aware of you and your energy and what type of energy you are projecting with the intention of contributing and being helpful.
Yes. Okay, well, that actually answers some of Julie's questions, and I understand that, and that is what is really what I believe, but every once in a while I get a little tripped up. But anyhow, we'll talk about this more on the second session. Thanks, Elias.
Very well. I shall be engaging you shortly.
Great. I'll be engaging you back.